My name is Amber, and I am on volunteer staff here at BASIC, and I'm also a full-time speech-language pathologist. Whoop, whoop. We, as BASIC, exist to unite people in the name of Jesus, and this series, the Book of John, is helping us do that. In this series, we are exploring characteristics of God found in stories about Jesus in the Book of John. So, identifying characters of God and how he is at work in our lives can be tricky when we don't really know what it is that we're looking for. So, our hope is that this series is going to help equip you to engage in scripture and recognize how God's word can reveal his character in our everyday lives. So, tonight we are going to pay close attention to a story about Jesus in John 12, but first, you get to listen to a story about my own life. I have struggled with body image and unhealthy eating habits since I was in high school. I lived in the Minneapolis area for about a year, and while I was there, I weighed myself on my bathroom scale 2 to 3 times a day. During this time, I dropped about 25 pounds, and if I'm being completely honest, I did not have 25 pounds to lose, and there was no way I was doing it in a healthy manner. Shortly after I moved home, a good friend gave me a hug. He pulled away and said, "Amber, you feel like skin and bones. I care a lot about you, and I cannot let you keep living on a lifestyle like this." After a tumultuous conversation filled with my defenses and justifications, I went back to my apartment. I put my scale in my box, and I begrudgingly brought it back over to this friend's house. I handed him my scale. He met me with another smile and a hug, and I allowed him to hide this scale, this symbol of my unhealthy relationship with my body, in his house somewhere for 14 months. And giving up this scale was a moment of surrender. Tonight, we are going to talk about what it looks like to acknowledge God's holiness and his intimacy and figure out how surrender fits into all of who God is. And surrender will look different for each one of you in this room. Maybe it looks like giving up this idea that you have to have your dream job right out of college, or you have to have the perfect social media relationship or friendship, or you need to have every single second of the next 10 years figured out right this moment. So let's figure out what it looks like for you to invite God into whatever pressure you feel weighing on your shoulders tonight. So I want you all to pick out your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12, verse 1. So to set the scene, Jesus is nearing the end of his time here on earth. It's actually about 6 days before he dies, and he just brought one of his best friends, Lazarus, back from the dead, and the chief priests and the Romans are making plans to kill him. Seems like a pretty good place to start. So, as I am reading this passage out loud, I want you to read along with me. And as I'm reading, I want you to underline each person and what they are doing in this story. So my big old Bible that's like basically falling apart is the NIV version, which is the New International Version. And if you have this version, that's great. If you have a different version, that's also awesome. Whatever you have is going to be amazing. So John chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had just raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who would later betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came. And not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Okay. Give me a second while I put my Bible down. Okay. So, quick summary. Martha and Mary are Lazarus' sisters. Mary pours expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and washes them with her hair. The guy that Jesus just raised from the dead, Lazarus, and his sister Martha are just hanging out and preparing a meal. And some other people are outside scheming to kill Jesus and the zombie guy. Nice. Easy. Okay, sweet. My job is done. Remember, this story took place before Passover, which is an 8-day Jewish holiday that everyone at this time was very familiar with. And people reading the first version of God's word would have understood the significance of this timing. Passover commemorates when God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. So part of this celebration requires the priests to kill a young and perfect lamb. And then people would take the blood of this lamb and wipe it on the top and on the sides of their door to symbolize God's protection over his people. Later in the book of John and in the other gospels, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God because he is the ultimate sacrifice to show God's protection over his people. Jesus is the Lamb of God because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for us to receive God's love. So in this passage, in verse 8, Jesus foreshadows his own death. Jesus knows that he is going to be the sacrificial lamb for this Passover. And the people first reading this story would have recognized the importance of Passover and the weight of Jesus' words as he foreshadows his own death. We meet several people in this story. I had you underline them. And each of them experience God's holiness and God's intimacy. And they all respond with surrender. First, we meet Martha, and she experiences God's holiness because she just watched Jesus bring her brother back to life. Talk about an emotional roller coaster. And this is an action that only the creator of the universe can do. How holy. And Martha experiences God's intimacy too. Martha's house is the place where Jesus chooses to rest. Jesus chooses to eat the food that Martha prepares. How intimate. Martha experiences God's holiness and his intimacy, and she responds with surrender. Martha is probably so exhausted, but she gives up the time that she could probably be spending with her brother who just came back from the dead. But instead, she gives up that time to meet the physical needs of Jesus. How brave. Then we have Lazarus. And he experiences God's holiness because he was just a participant in an eternity-changing miracle. Like the God of the universe chose him to bring back to life. How holy. Lazarus experiences God's intimacy because he gets to sit at a table next to Jesus, who knows every part of his being. He gets to listen to the words of Jesus and eat food with him. How intimate. And Lazarus experiences God's holiness and his intimacy, and he chooses to respond with surrender. Lazarus's brain is probably swarming with thoughts. Like, he's grateful that he's not dead anymore, but he's probably also nervous and a little bit unsure of what to do next. He's probably wondering why Jesus chose him to raise from the dead. And he's probably curious about what made him worthy to be a participant in such a monumental act. But Lazarus gives his thoughts over to God and rests in his presence. How brave. Mary experiences God's holiness because she is sitting at his feet, submitting to him, admiring him, and showing everyone in that room how much she loves and honors and respects him. This act symbolizes Mary publicly acknowledging that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Lamb of God. How holy. Mary experiences God's intimacy too. She pours her most valuable possession, an expensive perfume, all over Jesus' feet. And this perfume was worth about $40,000 to $50,000. That is a lot of money. Like, that is probably more than most of us currently have in our bank accounts right now. That is a lot of money. And Mary chose to give it to Jesus so that she could prepare his body for burial. Can you imagine what it would be like to prepare someone's body for burial? But also feet. Like, the feet of people at this time were like super mega dirty. Like, people were traveling barefoot or with sandals, and they were going through dusty and dirty terrain, and their feet were nowhere clean, not by any definition of the word. Yet Mary chooses to wash his feet with her hair. How, it's a little bit weird, but also how intimate. And Mary experiences God's holiness and his intimacy, and she responds with surrender. Yes, Mary gives up her most valuable possession, but the real act of surrender here is Mary giving Jesus her human doubt that maybe he isn't who he says he is. Instead, she sits at his feet and gives up that doubt by pouring out this $50,000 perfume. How brave. And Judas, what a guy. Judas experiences God's holiness too. Jesus is granting Judas access to this holy moment occurring right in front of his eyes that he just can't seem to acknowledge. And Jesus knows that Judas is going to betray him in a few days. But Jesus hasn't given up on him yet. Jesus chooses to speak with Judas in the midst of his body being prepared for burial. How holy. And Judas experiences God's intimacy too. Judas hyperfixates on money for his entire life. And here, he just can't seem to get past the immediate gratification that Mary would receive if she just saved that perfume and turned it in for the money. Judas can't see God's holiness for what it really is, the presence of God's love and grace. Judas is cynical, but he allows Jesus access to his thoughts. Judas brings God into his brain and creates space to learn something new. How intimate. Now Judas experiences God's holiness and his intimacy, and he chooses to respond with surrender. Judas can't help but verbalize his thoughts. Jesus, that's funny. Jesus, if you are who you say you are, if you are God, then why are you allowing this money to be wasted? Judas asks the question. He says the thing that other people in the room are probably thinking, and he doesn't just blindly accept the reality of the situation occurring before him. Judas asks why. He gives over his most honest thoughts and apprehensions. How brave. And Jesus is God, but Jesus also experiences God's holiness. Jesus knows the unique gifts and values and motivations of each person that we've talked about so far. He sees a stripped down version of them because he sees them for what they bring into this room and how they are able to love God, love themselves, and love others. That level of intimacy is something that only God is capable of. That deep knowing and understanding is holy. And Jesus experiences God's intimacy too. Jesus knows that he's going to die in 6 days. And as Martha is in the room cooking next to him, and Lazarus is sitting next to him at this table, and Mary is sitting at his feet with this $50,000 perfume, Jesus probably thinks, oh, this plan that God has for me is actually going to happen. Why? Why me? Why this way? Jesus accepts this plan, but he allows himself to be physically and emotionally cared for by the people in this room. How intimate. And Jesus experiences God's holiness and his intimacy, and he too responds with surrender. Jesus gives this oh, why thought over to God so that he can continue to exude peace and love and trust to the people in this room with him. How brave. Each person in this passage reveals God's holiness and his intimacy in very unique ways. And depending on the day, I relate to a different person. Like today, I relate to Martha, sitting in God's presence, but doing a lot of the background work to make sure the show goes on. But on the day that I surrendered my scale, oh man, I felt like Mary. I felt vulnerable and nervous about what God was going to do with something that was so valuable to me. This tiny little action was eternity changing for my relationship with Jesus. Jesus, because I allowed him into a part of my life that I didn't think the creator of the universe would care about. I knew that Jesus created me in his image and that I was fearfully and wonderfully made and that he called me holy and dearly beloved. I knew these things to be true. I was able to acknowledge God's holiness. But I thought that surely that God of the universe didn't care about how I cared about my human body. Until I realized that he did. I finally let down the wall between the ugliest part of my heart and the one who loves me the most. Yes, I gave over my scale, and when I did that, I was able to fully invite God into the depths of my heart. My relationship with Jesus became more intimate than I ever thought possible. See, Jesus was always right there next to me when I stepped on that scale. And he was heartbroken for me when I was heartbroken over my physical body. And Jesus cheered me on each day because even though that scale is back in my house now, the healthiest thing for me to do is to keep it in that box in the back of my bathroom cupboard. And through this act of surrender, God intimately revealed to me that he cares about how I think about my body. Who do you relate to most in this passage? Are you Lazarus, coming off of this radical act of God's love and soaking up his goodness while you can? Are you Judas, fixating on the material things of this world and allowing them to get in the way between yourself and an authentic relationship with Jesus? Are you Martha, serving Jesus from a distance, but not actively engaging in what looks like a real relationship with him? Or are you Mary, giving up everything that you have to Jesus and living in a moment of active worship? The people that we've talked about tonight knew these truths about Jesus, but through surrender, they were able to experience the intimacy of God. And God meets us with the same offer. When we experience his awe and wonder, giving all that we know of ourselves to all that we know of God becomes something that we get to do instead of something that we have to do. Sometimes surrendering to God's holiness and intimacy looks like pouring out a $50,000 perfume at his feet. But sometimes surrendering to God's holiness and intimacy looks like resting in his presence or giving up a scale. Surrendering to God puts us in the position to learn more about his character. Giving something over to God that we care deeply about is intimate because we get to reveal the deepest parts of our hearts to the creator of the universe. We get to acknowledge that God's knowledge surpasses our own, that he has something to reveal to us that we can't figure out on our own. Surrender shows God that we want to know him more and we want to be known by him more. We have to be ready and willing to sit fully open and honest and with our guards down with the creator of the universe to see how he's going to surprise us. In what area of your life can you acknowledge God's holiness and intimacy in a new way? What does it look like for you to surrender the closest desires of your hearts, the most valuable possessions of your life, to Jesus? If your brain is overwhelmed with trying to figure out the future and create the best 5-year plan that your generation has ever seen, maybe surrender looks like giving that idea over to God and seeing what doors he already has opened for you. If you're chasing the perfect friendship or relationship, maybe surrender looks like asking God how you can invite him into the center of that friendship or relationship. If school is putting this enormous pressure on your mental and physical health, maybe surrendering over your "this is exhausting" mentality to God will allow him to reveal to you his purpose for your role as a student during this season of life. Now, I, standing up here with a microphone, have no idea what God's holiness and intimacy is gonna look like for you. And I have no idea what he's gonna reveal to you when you surrender to him. But I do know that the creator of the universe loves you and cares for you and wants to be in a very deep, personal, cherished relationship with you. So in this passage, Jesus shows us that he is worthy of our authentic worship, and that he has a plan for us, and that he wants us to trust him. Jesus wants us to recognize the holy moments that we get to share with him. In this story, Jesus is human, and Jesus is God. Jesus is holy, and Jesus is intimate. I want to leave you with this. Oftentimes we read this passage and we think that we have to identify with Mary. And if you do, that's great. I love that for you. But if you don't, that's okay too. Remember, surrender looked different for Mary than it did for Martha, than it did for Lazarus or Judas or even Jesus himself. And God wants to reveal his holiness and his intimacy in a way that matters most to you. When we acknowledge God's holiness and we make space in our hearts and our minds and our souls, he will reveal himself to us time and time again in ways that are so unique to us that we can't deny it's God. So I'm going to read a couple of reflection questions, and then I'm going to pray. The band is going to come up and play some mellow jams, and you're going to get some time to think about these questions. Sound good? Great. I don't remember what I said first. I'm going to ask the questions first, and then I'll pray. Okay, first question. Who do you relate to most in this passage, and why? Number two, in what area of your life can you acknowledge God's intimacy and holiness in a new way? And then number three, what does it look like for you to surrender the closest desires of your hearts, the most valuable possessions in your life, to Jesus? Will you pray with me? Hey God, I am so grateful for Thursday nights and for the time that we get to spend together in this room. I'm so grateful for each and every person and the unique gifts and values that you have instilled in them. Jesus, you are going to reveal your holiness and your intimacy to them in a way that's so unique, they have no choice but to deny. They have no choice but to acknowledge and accept that it's you. So I pray that each person in this room tonight can experience your love and grace, your kindness, your holiness, and your intimacy. God, open our hearts and minds to what it is that you have to reveal to us tonight. Thank you. We love you. And it's in your name that we get to pray. Amen.